On the northeastern shores of England, there is a town called Monkshaven, containing at the present day about 15,000 inhabitants. There were, however, but half the number at the end of the last century, and it was at that period that the events narrated in the following pages occurred. Monkshaven was a name not unknown in the history of England, and traditions of its having been the landing place of a throneless queen were current in the town. At that time there had been a fortified castle on the heights above it, the site of which was now occupied by a deserted manor house. And at an even earlier date than the arrival of the queen, and coeval with the most ancient remains of the castle, a great monastery had stood on those cliffs, overlooking the vast ocean that blended with the distant sky. Monkshaven itself was built by the side of the Dee, just where the river falls into the German Ocean. The principal street of the town ran parallel to the stream, and smaller lanes branched out of this and straggled up the sides of the steep hill, between which and the river the houses were pent in. There was a bridge across the Dee, and consequently a bridge street, running at right angles to the high street. And on the south side of the stream there were a few houses of more pretension, around which lay gardens and fields. It was on this side of the town that the local aristocracy lived. And who were the great people of this small town? Not the younger branches of the county families that held hereditary state in their manor houses on the wild, bleak moors, that shut in Monkshaven almost as effectually on the land side as ever the waters did on the seaboard. No, these old families kept aloof from the unsavoury yet adventurous trade which brought wealth to generation after generation of certain families in Monkshaven. The magnates of Monkshaven were those who had the largest number of ships engaged in the whaling trade. Something like the following was the course of life with a Monkshaven lad of this class. He was apprenticed as a sailor to one of the great shipowners, to his own father, possibly, along with 20 other boys, or it might be even more. During the summer months, he and his fellow apprentices made voyages to the Greenland seas, returning with their cargoes in the early autumn, and employing the winter months in watching the preparation of the oil from the blubber in the melting sheds, and learning navigation from some quaint but experienced teacher, half schoolmaster, half sailor, who seasoned his instructions by stirring narrations of the wild adventures of his youth. The house of the shipowner to whom he was apprenticed was his home, and that of his companions during the idle season between October and March. The domestic position of these boys varied according to the premium paid. Some took rank with the sons of the family, others were considered as little better than servants. Yet once on board, an equality prevailed, in which, if any claimed superiority, it was the bravest and brightest. After a certain number of voyages, the Monkshaven lad would rise by degrees to be captain, and as such would have a share in the venture. All these profits, as well as all his savings, would go towards building a whaling vessel of his own, if he was not so fortunate as to be the child of a shipowner. At the time of which I write, there was but little division of labour in the Monkshaven whale fishery. The same man might be the owner of 6 or 7 ships, any one of which he himself was fitted by education and experience to command. The master of a score of apprentices, each of whom paid a pretty sufficient premium, and the proprietor of the melting sheds into which his cargoes of blubber and whalebone were conveyed to be fitted for sale. It was no wonder that large fortunes were acquired by these shipowners, nor that their houses on the south side of the River Dee were stately mansions, full of handsome and substantial furniture. It was also not surprising that the whole town had an amphibious appearance, to a degree unusual even in a seaport. Everyone depended on the whale fishery, and almost every male inhabitant had been, or hoped to be, a sailor. Down by the river the smell was almost intolerable to any but Monkshaven people during certain seasons of the year. But on these unsavoury staithes, the old men and children lounged for hours, almost as if they revelled in the odours of train oil.